Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. We've been reading this the last few weeks. How many of you heard that before we introduced it a couple weeks ago? How many of you heard that? Pretty much all of us at one point or another have heard this or a version of this. If you go to the New Testament, you find that Luke and Matthew quote Jesus quoting this verse. Actually, what's really interesting, Luke and Matthew don't actually quote this word for word. Anybody tell me where the word is strength? What do we find in the New Testament that they use? Mind, yeah. Two completely different words. And so I read that and I think, did either Luke or Matthew get it wrong? Or what gives? We're going to touch on that next week when we talk about strength. This is referred to as the Shema. The first word in this phrase, hear, O Israel, is the Shema. And the word hear means, or the word Shema means to hear. A couple of weeks ago, we recognized and we took a look at it and realized that the word hear in this sense means to hear and respond. The writer or the teacher at that time would have said, if you're not responding to the law of God, you actually didn't hear it. How many of you had an experience where maybe you remember a time when you were a child or one of your kids? You think, did you not hear me? And the reason you ask the question is because they're not doing what you ask them to do, or they are doing what you ask them not to do, right? And so the idea of the word Shema here is to hear and respond accordingly. Then last week, we looked at the writers, the ancient language, about how they understood the heart. I was fascinated in the research last week to find out that for the ancient Hebrew who writes, love the Lord with all your heart, that for them, there was no concept of our thoughts being a function of our mind. There was no idea, no concept for them of the brain. So thought for the ancient Hebrew writers came from your heart. And the thoughts and the things you desire, the choices you make, certainly our emotions and our feelings. Our heart is a physical muscle that keeps us living. And so we found that there's several different ways for the writer to consider the heart and what it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. I wonder, when I look at the Shema, I think to myself, it's familiar to all of us. It's certainly not the first time we've heard it. But if I were to stop and say, what do you think it means? We give us great pause because not sure exactly what it means to love the Lord my God with my soul. They identified in here that for us today, if you said to somebody, describe for me your soul. What's the soul? A lot of people would describe it as that part of us that separates from us at death. Right? The soul is that part of me that lives on after this part of me dies. And in fact, they made the point in the video, that has nothing to do with the word soul in the Old Testament, certainly not in the Shema. It's not that part where I feel it the most. You say, oh man, I can feel this deep in my soul. This is right or this is wrong. That's not what it is at all. Nefesh, go ahead guys, throw that up there. Nefesh, the literal translation is a breathing creature. They use the word at the base translation, it talks about the throat. Well, it's somehow all interconnected. It's a really kind of difficult word to pin down. We have to do a little bit of language study this morning, but nefesh literally means the breathing creature, the actual creature, and the breathing connected to, of course, I breathe in and through my throat. We could find, I think they said 700 references in the Old Testament. We'll only go through about half of those this morning, so don't worry about it. Anything to do with the throat or the life that comes from what goes in the throat, swallowing is, the word to swallow is a form of the word nefesh. But it's used in this wide variety, either literal or an accommodated or a figurative sense of an appetite or a beast or body, the breath, the creature, the soul, the self, the person, that which breathes, the breathing substance of the soul, the essence of mankind. It's kind of this nebulous word that's been really difficult to nail down. You can turn to chapter 11 in Numbers. This is the one that they made reference to in Numbers chapter 11. The people of Israel are walking through the desert and they're complaining about what has gone on and all the things they've been struggling with. Numbers chapter 11. And I'll read up to verse 6 just to get some context. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burst amongst them and consumed of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because the fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if we only had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now we have lost our appetite, is the way the NIV phrases it. We never see anything but this manna. The phrase in verse 6, now we have lost our appetite, is actually the use of the word nephesh. King James says in this way, if you're reading King James Bible, go ahead, guys. It shows us that the King James says this in 11. Now our soul is dried up or dried away. Now the implication at a surface reading is that they're complaining that their throat is dry. We've been in the desert and we're eating manna all the time. We remember back when we got melons and cucumbers, and isn't it amazing that they remembered how wonderful it was when they were what? Slaves. Used up for whatever they could produce and then probably just tossed off to the side when they weren't producing anymore. But we loved it there because our throat wasn't dry. Well, if they had wanted to say that it was just their throat was dry, there is a word that they could have used there that's not nephesh. There is a Hebrew word for throat, garon. In the Psalms, it says this, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave and their tongues tell lies. So in Numbers 11, if the author had wanted to say just their throat was dry, it's not nephesh that they would have used. So they're saying something more than just we have a dry throat. And so as we look ahead, to go ahead, the NIV and the NLT have phrased it this way, that it's a loss of appetite. Pretty wild translation to think that you can go from my soul is dried away to I've lost my appetite. You remember the last time that you lost your appetite? You truly didn't feel like eating at all? My guess would be that the last time, if you can think back to that moment where you just say, I don't even care to eat, that food wasn't the only issue. There was probably something else going on, right? When was the last time you felt so saying, I don't care, I don't even want to eat? It's probably because your soul had kind of dried up and you felt weak and you felt tired and you felt used up. And so they're not all that separate as what they may look like on the surface. The word nephesh is used hundreds of times in the Old Testament and it carries a really wide spectrum. So it's absolutely critical that when we see the word used, nephesh, when we see the word soul, that we understand the literary context. That's what's the writer saying in a broader picture? If I just pull the word out and say, well, it means soul, it may not make a whole lot of sense unless I understand the broader context. Let me give you a more modern phrase. If you were to say to me, hey, Steve, what are you doing? And I said, oh, man, I'm killing it. Well, that depends on context, doesn't it? If you come in and see me competing in some sporting event and I just finished a home run or I just scored a goal or something and I'm running, breathing, heaven, and you say, what are you doing? I say, I'm killing it. Then it means what? I'm doing a great job, right? This is happening. But if you come to my place and I got a chicken in one hand and an axe in the other and I said, I'm killing it, that has nothing to do with the first reference. Context means everything, right? Such as it is with the word nephesh. You got to make sure we're understanding it in the right context. There is another example of this as well later on in the book of Numbers. Go ahead, guys, to Numbers in chapter 21. You don't need to turn there if you don't want. It's the same kind of story. The people of God are once again complaining about what's gone on. Numbers chapter 21, I'll read. Pick up at verse 4. It says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route of the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Look at the way the King James says it. King James says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of this way. And the soul loatheth this bread. Loatheth. I love that. Have you ever used that word this week? You got to go out this week and see if you can find somewhere to use the word loatheth. If you get in a really heated argument with somebody, you say, I loatheth you. You can even say, my soul loatheth you. Don't say that. That's terrible. But look at the way the more modern language translates it. Not the soul of the people, but the people. Because soul of the people is the people, is it not? If I wanted to know you, I mean really know you, and the more I understand about you, and the more that's revealed to me, I understand your character and who you are, I'm getting a snapshot picture of your soul, the person underneath the surface. We often use this phrase that sometimes we all wear masks. And you only know the Sunday me. But some of us know the non-Sunday of each other, right? We're getting pictures of the soul. So the NIV says, the people grew impatient, and we detest this miserable food, because it's identifying the personal nature of the word nephesh. Now, we're going to do a little exercise here this morning. I'll give you a little background, a little context, just help you understand. I'm half asleep and maybe some of you are half asleep, so we're going to do something to keep us all awake. You don't have to get up out of your seats. You can see the fear in your eyes already. But you are going to have to do something here this morning, because we're going to see if we can uncover this and live it, the nephesh, and get an understanding of it. So grab a pen or a pencil or something from your purse or your pocket or the pew rack in front of you. And in your bulletin, you got some blank space on the back page. Just find a blank spot anywhere you want. Because this whole idea of nephesh, it's abstract, and it means one thing here and it could mean something else there. It's hard to pin it down. We're going to see in a practical way this morning if we can pin it down a little bit through this exercise. Because I want to understand, and I think maybe you want to understand, if the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, and soul doesn't mean that departed part of me that leaves my body when I die, then what does it mean? We're going to see if we can nail it down for what it means this morning. So here's what I want you to do. Little exercise, we're going to do it together. You know what? I'll do it with you. Just so that I don't stand up here and tell you what to do, we'll all participate. You're going to take that space, and the first thing I want you to write down, I want you to identify three things about yourself, three things specific to your physical attributes. Now go ahead and just be honest when you write it down. The person beside you, it's none of their business. You might say, okay, I'm tall, or you might say, I'm short, or you might say, I'm thin, I'm fit, I'm a little bit overweight, I'm weak, I'm stronger than I used to be. I don't care. Pick a physical attribute about yourself, pick three of them, and write it down on that piece of paper. They could be good, bad, indifferent. Just this is three ways to describe me physically. So let me see. I'll give you an idea on it. Physically, I am feeling like I'm getting older. Write that one down. I'm feeling a little bit softer than that. Physically, I'm feeling a little softer than I used to. My kids are around it. And today, I'm feeling tired. Yesterday was Joshua's prom night, so we had kids in and out of our backyard at 2:30, even still as much as 2:30 this morning, and so I kind of slept last night, didn't have so much, so physically I'm feeling tired today. How many of you wrote down tired? Anybody? Yeah, good. See, that's the right answer. You and I are the only ones who got the right answer there. All right, three attributes of yourself, physical attributes. Okay, now I want you to write down three things about yourself that are your hobbies or your interests. Three things that you like to do. I love working in my garage woodworking. So, better write that down. Hobbies. I like working with wood. Heather got me a kayak for my birthday. That's exciting. So I'm pretty soon going to like kayaking, I think. I'll say outdoor. Outdoor activities. Third hobby. You got three there? You're going to wait till everybody... I can wait till you put down three, because one of the things, I am very patient. Why is that? Fine, I'll put a big question mark behind that one if you want. All right. So you've got three attributes of yourself. Physically, you've got three attributes of your interests or hobbies. The next thing I want you to write down are three ways that you would be identified in your family. So, for example, guys, if you're a man here this morning, then you are someone's son. So you can write down, I'm a son of somebody. But some of the men in the room are also a father to somebody. You may be a brother to somebody. You may not be a brother. You might be a nephew or an uncle. You may not be. Any ways in which you can be identified or labeled within your family circle, write three of them down. Father, son, uncle. Grandfather. Uncle, brother. Ladies, any way you can be identified in your family, you go to a family reunion and they could pin that on you. There's cousin. There's the crazy cousin nobody likes. Every year when we went to our family reunion in Poplar Hill, the Stanley family reunion died with, I think, my generation. We just decided not to go anymore. We started something different. Anyway, side note, there's a bird. My dad would always go to the wrong gathering. Every single year, we go to Poplar Hill, and they had this big pavilion, and every year, two families rented it on the same day, and every year, Dad would go to the other one. I'm like, Dad, that's not even our family. Yeah, but I recognize some of the people, and I don't know some of these people. Well, these people are new in our family. Those people are people that's our neighbors. Leave them alone. They got better food. Every year, he went to the wrong one. family, brother, and the best brother my sisters have. I'm the best dad my kids have. I've told them that several times. I am a son. Okay. Three family ways to relate in your family. All right, a couple more. Three. Now, this is really private. Don't let the person beside you tell them, get their noses. None of their business. Three character qualities about yourself. Again, good, bad, indifferent. I'm stubborn. I'm patient. I'm gracious. I'm intelligent. I'm fun to be around. And on top of that, I'm humble. I don't care. Whatever you want to write down. Three character qualities about yourself. I thought I was patient, but based on the reaction, I'm going to say I'm not as patient as I need to be. These type of sermons are much easier when you're not here. You know that, right? I know. Thank you for that. I'm not as patient. Character quality. Yeah. Why is it when you go to write down character qualities about yourself, the negative ones always come so easily to mind? Okay, let me quantify that one. You're going to write down three character qualities, and at least one of them has to be positive. Now, how many of you have to go back and redo your paper? At least one has to be positive. What are my positive ones? You know all my positive traits. What are they? Yes, I wrote down that. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. What's the last one? All right, last one is this. I want you to write down 3 points about yourself that refer to your career, your profession. If people were going to identify you professionally, what kind of words and titles would they use? You say, well, I work from the home my whole life. I take care of our family. That's fine. Write that down. Whatever it might be, you might say, I've achieved certain things. I'm the captain of something. I'm the leader of something. I'm a title of some sort. I achieved this. I made this goal, whatever it is. Something that's of a career or a professional nature, you might say, if Sarah were here, she would say, I just got my first, she could write down first job. She just got her first job. She's loving it, last few weeks. Some of you could say, oh, so happy, I'm retiring from my job. By the way, some of you all know is retiring. Pretty soon, Daryl and I are going to run the building because Miriam's retiring. Miriam's going to be retiring this year. We are going to miss Miriam when she's retired. Write down almost retired on your sheet. That's perfect. We're going to miss having Miriam in the office. Okay. Now, if you've played along here, if you've actually cooperated with us and done this, you should have, I think we got 5 different bullet points, 3 for each. You should have 15 things written down on your piece of paper that describe you. Now, can you go to any one of those things you've written down and say, well, that's a full description of who I am? Hopefully, all of the things you wrote down are accurate about yourself, but I would say none of the things in and of itself, one thing, fully describes who you are, right? One of my things is, I'm a brother. Well, that's true. I have 2 sisters. I am a brother. But that's not the whole of who I am. That's only a part of who I am. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to circle that entire list of 15 or draw a box around it, encompass it all somehow. All these points you've written down about yourself, you say, I only got 6, I only got 7, whatever. However many you got, I want you to put something all the way around them, so that you've encompassed them all in there. This is an imperfect picture, but it helps to give us an idea. And now I want you to label that circle or that box, my nefesh. Because the whole living, breathing organism, person, is more than just what you do for a living. It's more than just how you relate to your family. It's more than just your character qualities, or your hobbies and your interests, or your physical attributes. We identify ourselves very much in categories. When people ask you, tell me about yourself, without even meaning to, we jump from one category to the next. Tell me about yourself. Well, this is what I do for a living. This is my career. No, tell me about yourself. Well, this is how I fit in my family. Okay, but tell me something about yourself. Well, I have these types of interests and hobbies and attributes. And you realize that to identify ourselves is a nebulous, hard thing to do. You have to help me identify the question. But if we put them all together, if we could grab all the things that are true of you and you and you and me, you could put them all together, you'd say, that's nefesh. Now, if we get that picture of what the whole is that makes up the whole person, and we say, now we're going to love the Lord our God with the whole thing, well, then it means I can be a little bit more specific, because I could say, what about my physical abilities? If I could describe myself just in reference to my physical abilities, how can I love my God with that? I'll give you a very practical example. This week, we've been working at a house here in town, doing some work, renovating somebody's house, and people come out and volunteering their time because they have the physical ability to do so. And so we come to do it because the work needs to be done, but more than that, we're there because we are loving the Lord our God with our physical ability. And if he's given you the physical ability to do it, then we return that to God and say, we're going to give this back to you. Paul mentions it in Corinthians. He says it this way, don't you know that your body is not your own? He was talking to the people about living morally pure lives, but he says it this way, you've been bought at a price, so give your body back to God and serve God that way. You may have picked up one of these on the way in about the hub ride coming this Saturday. And we've got boxes you can check, say, yeah, I can help with this, I can help with that. And if you can help with hub ride, give your body back to God, worship him by helping with something. But you could help out by hub ride just by being here. Just by coming and say hi to somebody. Hey, how you doing? Hi, my name's George. Nice to meet you, George. Good, how's you? This your bike? Yeah, that's cool. Talk to George for 5 minutes. It would be a way to love your God with your physical ability to do it. Now, that doesn't take into account your calendar and how busy you are and how busy I am. I'm just saying, God's giving you the physical ability to do. We can love the Lord our God with our soul by using our bodies and the energy that he's given us. How about my interests and my hobbies? I can use my interests and my hobbies to connect with others, to encourage one another in the Lord, and that's loving the Lord my God with that part of my soul. That is my interests and my hobbies. There's a group that meets here every week, and they kind of have bound together around their interests and their hobbies. Hearts and Hands groups kind of starts because they have a love for this physical activity, but it's so much more than that. Am I correct? It's so much more than that. But there is a common activity and an interest and a hobby that they all share together. Some of the best ministry that we have in the church for one another, encouraging one another, is built around what are our common interests? What do we both like doing? Well, maybe we could spend some time doing that. We'll be encouraged in the Lord. I can love the Lord my God with my soul, my nefesh. If I understood that my hobbies might be some of your hobbies, we can build one another up. How about my relationships? You are a father, you are a son, you are a brother. When I was just a son, before I was a husband or before I was a father, life was cool because I could do anything I want as a kid, right? When I became a father, the first time when Sarah was first born, suddenly I had a different understanding of my relationship with my father because I was one. And I've realized a number of times that my kids, when I have to speak discipline into their life, it's not because I'm mad at them, it's because I love them. And I picked that up over the scriptures that told me that's why God disciplines me, because he loves me. So my relationships in my family can be shaped by loving the Lord my God with that part of who I am. My character qualities. How do I love the Lord my God with that part of that makes me up who I am? Well, if they're positive character qualities, if God has taught me more about patience or generosity or compassion, then I can express what God has taught me. God has taught me over a long stretch, because I'm a really slow learner, about compassion and about generosity. I am not the same person today as I was 6 months ago or 6 years ago. And so as he continues to refine those qualities in me, I will learn how to express those. At the same time as he's pressing on me and saying, you need to be more. Come on, you know where we need to get to. Anybody here other than me had that feeling when God speaks into your life and says, I know where you're at. You've been here long enough. We're going to grow to the next step. And it's going to cost you something. And it's going to be hurt. It's going to hurt a little bit, but we're going to get there, right? And so with those character qualities that make up who I am, the whole of myself, the nefesh of who I am, I can love the Lord my God with those character qualities. What about my career? If I can be identified as in a career or in some type of professional sense or a label that can be put on me, how do I love the Lord my God with that? How many of you have achieved something in your education or career path? How many of you have gone for, well, I started here and I'm here now, or I'm here, or I'm here, right? Many of us have experienced that. I started out digging the ditches, and now I'm telling other people to dig the ditches, whatever it might be. You've achieved certain goals, you set them out, and you got there. Would it be so bold of me this morning to say that God has granted you the ability and the passion and the energy and the insight in order to do those things, and he did not grant you that for you. He granted you that so that you have another place of opportunity in ministry. So whatever it is, whatever label I wear as part of my career, whatever I do that builds up my resume, God grants me that so that I can use it for other people. There are ways in which I can do this. How do I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul? The word nefesh means the entire person, my character, my family, my career. Everything that can be described of you is part of your nefesh. And so everything that can be described of you gets back to God. We're going to finish this morning with a song that says, all is well with my soul. The whole thing. I'll ask the team to come on up and get ready. Love the Lord God with all my soul. Always be well. And not every moment of every day is well. I get that. Like I said this morning, even just this morning, met a couple people out in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? How was your week? Not good. Not great. I'm wearing this weight on the back of my neck. These things have happened. But can we still say all is well with my soul, the whole picture? If I can get to the place where I can learn that all of it was given to me and belongs actually to God, and I'm ready to give up everything about me, my career, my physical health, my relationships, my finances, whatever it might be, everything that makes who I am, if it belongs to him, I can get to a place where I can say, even though things aren't well, all is well, because it all belongs to him. So as we respond this morning, let's listen to these words carefully as we sing them to one another and to God, recognizing that all can be well with our soul, the whole big picture, so much as we learn how to give it back to him. Would you stand with us and help us to respond?